Imagine you found a letter tucked inside a second-hand book at a thrift store. It's handwritten and very intimate. It was clearly written by someone who cared deeply about the person who was receiving it. There are references to people you don't know, events that you were not a part of, inside jokes that you can't understand. But you can still feel the emotions in it. Maybe urgency or tenderness or even frustration. But you know, this letter was not written for you. You're reading someone else's mail. That's exactly what we do. Every time we open one of Paul's letters or James or 1 Peter or any of the 21 epistles in the New Testament, we are reading correspondence written by specific people to specific communities about specific situations, most of which we were not present for. So how do we read them well? How do we honor what they meant while still hearing what it means for us today? That's what today's episode is about. Hello, Living Life family. Welcome back to our Deeply Rooted season. I'm Samantha Shambo, and I'm so glad that you're here. Let's start with something that sounds obvious, but it changes everything. The New Testament letters are letters. We treat them as theology textbooks. We mine them for doctrines, extract isolated verses for devotional thoughts, and sometimes we string together sentences from different letters to build arguments that none of the original authors were actually making. But letters are occasional. They are personal and responsive. They were written because something was happening in a specific community and the author felt compelled to address it. Here's an example that you've almost certainly seen. Philippians 4 verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You've seen it on coffee mugs. And the way it is usually used, it sounds like a blank check from God, a divine guarantee that you can accomplish anything you set your mind to. But Paul wrote these words from a prison cell. He was not talking about achieving your goals. He was talking about contentment, about being at peace, whether you have plenty or nothing, because Christ sustained him through it all. That's a radically different message. It's deeper and more honest, and it's far more comforting than a motivational poster. Have you ever read a verse like that and felt a burden instead of a freedom, like you were supposed to be claiming a promise, but it didn't match your reality? The gap is often a context problem, and it's not a faith problem. We are reading someone else's correspondence, understanding who was writing, who they were writing to, and what problem they were addressing is essential before we ask what that means to us. Before we ask what the letter means to our lives, there are three questions we need to ask first. These are the interpretive keys that can unlock every epistle. Number one, who is writing? Paul is a trained rabbi who became an apostle to the Gentiles. These letters are dense with theological argument and pastoral urgency. James writes with the economy of a wisdom teacher. His letters read more like Proverbs than like Romans. Knowing the author helps us calibrate what kind of conversation we are entering into. Number two, who are they writing to? Every letter was written to a specific community or an individual. The Corinthians were dealing with division and confusion about spiritual gifts. The Galatians were being pressured to follow the Jewish laws. The Thessalonians were anxious about believers who had died. Michael Gorman stresses that reconstructing the original situation is not optional. It's essential. Without it, we are reading answers to questions we haven't heard. Number three, what problem are they addressing? Paul says, I do not permit a woman to teach in 1 Timothy 2. We need to ask, what was happening in Timothy's church? What false teachings were circulating? Without those questions, we flatten a pastoral instruction into a universal decree. I want to be honest with you about something personal, because this is what makes it real. I was called to preach when I was 10 years old. But over the years, I have had to defend this calling again and again. The most recent example happened in a taxi in Portugal. The driver asked me why I was there, and I told him I had come to preach. He then lectured me about why he believed women preachers were sin. That conclusion is often drawn from a single verse pulled from one of Paul's letters, without asking what Paul was actually responding to, or who he was writing to, or what specific issue he was addressing. The words were taken at surface level and used as a gavel. And I'll be honest, it hurts. I don't think anyone fully gets used to being criticized for trying to obey the call of God on their life. Because I love scripture. I want to be faithful to it. But when interpretations are formed without context, they can crush people, especially gifted and called women who long to bring the love of Christ to the world. This is why I care so deeply about what we are doing today. How we read these verses is not an academic exercise only. It shapes real lives. It can wound people and it can set people free. Context doesn't weaken scripture. It reveals scripture to us. Now let's talk about how the letters should shape our lives. Nearly every New Testament letter follows the same structure. The first half is theology and the second half is ethics. And the ethics are always grounded in the theology. Romans is the clearest example. Chapters 1 through 11 are dense theological argument. Then Paul pivots in chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Romans 12, verse 1. The word therefore is doing something enormous here. Everything that follows, every instruction about love, humility, generosity, how to treat your enemies, flows out of the theology that came before it. The letters never say, do this and God will love you. They say, God has loved you, now become who you really are. As N.T. Wright reminds us, Paul's ethics always flows from the gospel. If you extract the ethics from the theology, you end up with legalism. If you hold the theology without ethics, then you end up with cheap grace. Here is the most debated question in epistle interpretation. How do we know what is culturally specific and what is universally applicable? I want to give you a framework. Principle, consistency, and humility. Start with the principle, not the practice. Take Paul's instruction to greet one another with a holy kiss. The practice is culturally specific. The principle is universal. Genuine warm welcome in Christian communities. The practice changes, but the principle endures. Look for what the whole scripture affirms. If you see a principle repeated across scripture, like love, justice, or holiness, you can trust that it's universal. Let humility lead. There are passages in the letters where faithful, thoughtful Christians disagree. And they don't disagree because some of them take the Bible seriously and others don't, but because the interpretive questions are genuinely complex. We can know God truly through scriptures, but we will never know Him fully. The next time you open one of Paul's letters or James, remember you are reading someone else's mail. And that is not a limitation, it's a gift. When you take time to understand who was writing, who they were writing to, and what they were dealing with, and when you listen for the theology before you rush to the ethics, these ancient letters will come alive. You will hear Paul's voice crack as he writes from prison. You will feel his urgency, and you will realize that these letters were meant to be read aloud in community by people whose lives depended on the truth that they contained. God wins. Grace is real. The Spirit is at work. And you are part of a community that God is making holy, not through your perfection, but through His faithfulness. That is the message of the letters, and it has never stopped being true. So here's your next steps. First, read. Pick one letter and read the whole thing in one sitting. I'd suggest Philippians. It only has four chapters. Read it like a letter, not a textbook. Then reflect. Ask yourself, what was Paul's main concern? What problem was he addressing? Where does theology become ethics? And then download the free Bible study work pages on my website at SamanthaShambo.com. And if you found this episode helpful, please share it with someone in your community. Thank you for being here today. Remember, no matter your story, in Christ you are deeply known, fully loved, and you have a divine purpose. Until next time, keep living loved.